destination. This is the Chat in the Garden with your host, Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports.
Celebrating a decade in the garden. Can you believe a decade of chatting in the garden where significance blooms in athletics and sports? Well, today I'm off to Durham to attend the Durham Sports Commission and Women Leaders in Sports Emerging Women and Sports Leadership Summit that takes place tomorrow. And you know what I'm really excited about? Is about two of my students are going to be there. One is a recent graduate of Hampton University, and one is in my class now. So really excited about that. And that was due to the scholarships that they put out for them to attend. So excited about that. I will be on a panel, and I will be doing what they call something of a semi-speed mentoring roundtable. I think it's three people at a table at a time. So I'm just excited about growing the pipeline, people, growing the pipeline. And you know I'm going to introduce my students to everybody I know. I told them to practice their elevator speech. So that gives me joy. That gives me joy. But before I hit the road today, I'm conducting a lunch and learn with WISE of Metro New York. I am so excited about this. A shout out to Danita Harris for I wanted to say fighting for me to be on this platform. She initially just called and said she wanted to use our magazine or our book as their book or the magazine of the month to discuss. I'm like, okay, sure. So I sent all my stuff, and they're like, no, they want you to come speak. I was like, in person? Well, no, it could be a lunch and learn. I said, bet. So I'm going to do one of my signature talks, especially for women, is We Got Now. No, it's not only We Got Next, We Got Now. And so usually it's our mindset that takes us off our path. So I do have some activities that I just kind of like bringing to your attention that is you that thinks you should get to next. And it's your brain that stops you from getting it now. So hopefully this mindset, this celebration of Don Staley's third championship, but not only that, just the additional coverage. I just want you to ask 10 guys. Just 10 guys. Who was Caitlin Clark? Did you watch the game? Yes. So that tells you We Got Now. Because I know so many men who watched the Women's National Championship and number one didn't watch the men. If they did, they just had play in the background. And they know none of the athletes on the men's side, but they do know at least one on the women's side. Now, you know, people can say, well, you know, the portal, you know, kind of messed it up because, you know, no, well, the portal's on both sides. Portal, you got women moving around, you got men moving around, so don't let them let you use that cop out. But I tell you, I felt mighty funny yesterday. I said, I don't have no basketball to watch. That was pretty strange. I mean, yeah, okay, I can go watch the NBA, but yeah, that was a great, well, that was some great madness we just went through. Was it not enjoyable, quite enjoyable? The seventh issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports magazine is live on Amazon. So you can go get your copy today from there. Just go to Amazon and make sure you get the right issue, which is Spring 2024. But if you don't want to make sure you don't miss any of them, you need to subscribe. You need to subscribe. And the reason why I said that is because for $30 a year, you get two physical magazines. And you have access to the PDFs of all the previous ones. I think that's a deal and a half. Because I'm trying to tell you, everybody said, did I buy? I'm telling you, this one lady said, well, I went on the site. I thought I bought it. I was like, well, you didn't buy it for me. And so guess what? She subscribed. Because you want to make sure that she doesn't miss any of it. And this one is a very good magazine, because we've expanded to 40 pages. 40 pages. That's, I mean, 40 pages of substance, okay? And then I want you to also check out our ads in there. Yeah. I was pleased that one of the advertisers did like a reel on Instagram, so she's very pleased. And again, let me just be clear, you know, the people in the magazine pay to be in the magazine. So we don't have the standard mindset of circulation. It is for the magazine to be bought in bulk to put in the hands of the next generation. That's what we want to do. And to be used as a tool for those in the magazine to get other speaking engagements, because the articles are all about the individual's intellectual property. And what do you mean by that? So if you create a program someplace and you go to a different place, you can create another program. It might be called something different, but you have a process that you use to create that. And then, you know, depending upon the results that you have, you can really say, when I create a program, I increase awareness by 10%, and I notice because my pre or my post interviews or the students increase their GPA by 2%. These are the things that when you go for interviews that you need to be able to say. Yes, you need to be able to decipher what your the institution needs, and you need to be able to show how you close that gap. And so when the people join to be signed up to be in the magazine, they also get expert marketing from me. And I'm working on the eighth issue right now. The next issue will come out in August. So if you want to get on it, you got to jump on the bandwagon now. Because your payment has to be completed before I send the articles off to the designer. So I have it broken down to five payments. And so at this point, you almost closer got to pay in full. So get on board. So first, how do you subscribe? You can go to seedsofempowermentstore.com, seedsofempowermentstore.com. To subscribe. If you want to subscribe to this podcast so make sure you don't miss any, you can go to blackwomeninsportschats.com, blackwomeninsportschats.com. One of our newest media partners is On the Court Solutions. She's created this platform to unlock the limitless potential within every student athlete, business, and individual. Visit her website at Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, G Curtis .com. L-A-U-R-I-E, G Curtis .com. To sign up for her free download. Her free download is Fundamentally Unleashed, How to Ignite Your Path to Success. I think that'd be a great conversation to have with your student athlete. Yes, let's use that as a template to start a good conversation. Fundamentally Unleashed, How to Ignite Your Path to Success. So, again, go to her website, Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, gcurtis.com, to get your free download. Now, I mentioned before, now both of these young ladies, Laurie G. Curtis and The Jam, are in the 7th magazine. So you get a chance to really understand what it is they are trying to put into the atmosphere. But the Dr. Jam, she hosts the NIL Spot podcast. It's for parents, student athletes, and coaches to understand the concept of name, image, and likeness in the high school and college sports world. The host, Dr. Jam, launches podcast to show how to highlight the need of athletes to build their brands based on their talent and personality. Each month, she will discuss a new topic and aspects of NIL that cater to the lives and the sacrifices of student athletes across all sports. Tune in on everywhere that you listen to podcasts and search the NIL Spot. The NIL Spot podcast. Every time I say spot, I go like, I think in my head, you know, I'm going to meet you at the spot. And usually, to me, the spot is usually the barbershop. So, yeah, I think that's kind of cute. You know, because you got to meet people where they are. So I would say, you know, listen to a few of them. And, you know, if you send out recruiting letters to your student athletes and whatnot, and you want to have reason to communicate and stay engaged, you know, send something out like this so that you can start the conversation. Education, man, is so beautiful. You educate to influence people. So that's important. The soccer is a membership platform that stands for Semi-Professional Athlete and Coaches Association. And I'm teaching about labor law in a Hampton sports law class. We have moved. I finished talking about Dartmouth, and now I'm about to move into collective bargaining on the professional side. And I've been trying to explain why it's important. You know, there's a time to be individualized, and I believe that NIL is an individual venture because these collectives are causing some headaches. And I think the word collective in that sense, and then collective bargaining, is supposed to be a language bridge that's not similar, but to the lay person, that they get the same. So that being said, there is some leverage when you join a group like this, because it's a semi-professional, nothing to do with college. But let's just say that you don't belong to a player association and you need to find some insurance. This is that type of thing. You know, so collectively, when you join such a group like this, you're able to benefit from the collective group to be able to attack this. It's very similar to, again, insurance. And I just contacted the dentist about my husband's insurance. And the union covers the dentist. Now, I knew it covered my teeth cleaning, but I wanted to make sure that it was in the network if you were doing extractions. All right, but here's the point. I didn't do it as an individual, as a business owner of Caesar Empowerment. I benefited from my husband's insurance that's under his union. So I just want to give you a little background on why it's important to at least explore this. Because, collectively, you're able to get some of your needs met. So, again, the SOCA is a membership platform that stands for Semi-Professional Athletes and Coaches Association. Join a community of sports and industry professionals. For more information, visit thesaca. Again, saca.com for more information. Now, I'm really excited about this because this is launching this week. Alva Amaker, Education and Risk Management Consultant, owns Vigilant Safety Training Center. She likes to say her slogan is from policy to practice. It's not enough to just put it on the shelf. So did you know that April the 11th is World Civility Day? I didn't know either until I had Alva come to my life and tell me this is a thing, okay? So she is launching her first training on April 11th on civility. And it's called Building Blocks to Civility in Sports in 30 Days. So, yeah, she's launching. I need y'all to get on board with this. I'm really, really, really pushing for other organizations. I just tagged a organization that deals with guns and the NFL Players Association and how they are using their influence in legislation on Congress to reduce gun control issues. See, that's the stuff that I'm going like, wow. Now, one thing, the media didn't push that when it was really happening. And that's a form of protest. You know, everybody doesn't have to do the same exact same thing. You know, marching the streets is not the only way to advocate. And so this right here, if you are really sick of the shenanigans that happen at sport games, the real issue is that fans throw themselves 100% into the experience of watching the game, and they really believe that being a fan over the top is showing their passion for the game. And their passion is ruining the games. It's crazy. It starts so early that by the time we get to college, it's like the genie's outside the box. So how do we put it back in? So, you know, she's having, it's no more than just educate about the certain things. It's about having a dialogue together to come up with some strategies to build that block to bring civility back in sports. And Alva is truly the expert in the area because the National Federation of High Schools is using her course, number one, and having her speak at different entities on this. So we're blessed to be able to have her in our garden to help us all grow. So, again, tomorrow is World Civility Day. So in order to sign up, it's free. It is free. You better take advantage of this free. You know what I really would do? I think I will do that. I'm going to have my students do it for credit. But, you know, like your coaches. You're coming on review time and whatnot. You know, this would be good because, again, we're losing coaches, especially the high school coaches, because they can't deal with the parents. You know, and then, again, this definitely is not a barbershop talk. You know, you go to her workshops, she make you think, and how about. And then she's going to come up with some best practices document. So civilityinsports.com. Civilityinsports.com. The first challenge day, the first learning will take place on Thursday. So get on board. Seawall Foundation is offering media training for student athletes. I understand that they just did one. They just assisted a young man with his media day to prepare for his media day. So that's the kind of thing, again, when you see some issues, then you create a solution, and then you partner. So Seawall Foundation partnered with Head to Speech, and they helped the young man, I don't know what sport it is, to prepare for his media day. So these are the kinds of things the Seawall Foundation is doing. Now, let's just break it down. Again, Seawall Foundation, her expertise is media, so she covers all professional sports in the DMV. However, when she wants to give these young people, it's going to be free to begin. It's her nonprofit. So she needs to have money to be able to do this, not just for her time, but for the materials for the kids, you know? And shoot, if you're trying to teach them about media and whatnot, somebody got to go pay for the internet. Love you saying it. Just over here. So she's having a fundraiser Sunday, April 21st, from 12 to 3 at Top Golf in Ox Hill, Maryland. I really wish I could go. I really do. So the ticket includes 3 hours of golf, a buffet, and unlimited non-alcohol drinks. I would just be piling up on the Pepsi. I know, I'm addicted. I can't get over it. I should get them to be a sponsor. All proceeds are tax deductible. Okay, all right. So raising funds to provide transferable skills program to 4 area nonprofits, including Head to Speech. So get on board, and even I said this, and I got to remember to do so. She does have, you go to info@seawallfoundation.org. info@seawallfoundation.org. And if you can't attend, like myself, just send a donation. Again, it's all tax deductible. Yeah, so you want to keep getting us, get some money back at the end of the year, you better go get some money to some other folks. We know you got it. I'm not saying take your refund check and give it all to her. But, you know, just pinch off a bit. It's for a good cause. Meet the Contributors live on Facebook. We'll resume next week because, as I mentioned, I'm traveling the rest of the week. But you can go back and listen to previous Facebook Lives. Last week we had Dr. Jaquana Jackson, and many people said that was great. We really talked about mental health. We went deep, y'all. It was great. But she's a sports trauma psychotherapist. That was deep. Just some things to think about. And so that was good. Dr. Paula Jackson, a Sport in Focus and Minority Trailblazers Sports Conference, which moved their event from April to June. And Dr. Tamia Pope, Head to Speech founder. And we also had Dr. Courtney Pruitt, the athletic director for Kilgore College, which is a junior college. She actually serves on a conference board overseeing all women championships. So that's impressive. So go back and listen on Facebook Live. So now has come the time for the meet our guests. And so, let me see. I did write down the phonics of our guests. Zelicia Sahar and Elalon Nabu, Associate Director of Psychology and Resources for Oklahoma University Student Athletes. Welcome to the garden.
Good morning.
Good morning. How did I do?
It's Zelicia Sahar, Edzaloni Boo.
Oh, I didn't even get the Sahar part. I doubt I could have said that with no problem. Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, let me tell you the funny thing. So I was practicing your last name, and I went online, and I put it inside Google. And my husband was like, what's going on? Because it was loud. What's going on? And he said, it sounded like, do not download. I said, you just dreaming, because that's not what it says.
Oh, man.
Do you have a short, how do you like to be, what do you like to be called?
I prefer Zelicia. Some of my closest friends and colleagues will call me Z, but for the most part, I go by Zelicia.
Zelicia. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, we like to be called by what we like. Now, like, my name is Monique. I prefer to be called Tony, but I know that if I keep calling me Tony, I can't cash a check with Tony on it, so I have to embrace Monique if I want to get paid, you know?
Yes, definitely.
So let's go with your journey from college to now.
Okay. I attended a historically black college, University Tougaloo College, for undergrad. There I majored in psychology. And while I was there, one of my professors there were really, really good. And they told us to kind of look up, like, what we wanted to do with our psychology degrees, and also just, you know, told us that we would have to go and get either master's or doctorate degrees to probably be able to do what we wanted to do. And so they were a very traditional psychologist, so it was they only believed that you could either be a practicing psychologist, a researcher, or a professor. And mm-hmm. so as I'm looking through things that you can do, I stumbled upon sports psychology. And I really was interested in it. And at the time, this was around like 2007. At the time, sports psychology existed, but it wasn't as big as it is today. There probably maybe were one or two embedded people in athletic departments, so it just really wasn't as prominent as it is now. And so my professors, being as traditional as they are, they were like, you know, that sounds great, but, you know, you need to probably consider something else. Like, you probably won't be able to do that right away. I graduated, and I got a job pretty quickly into what we call social services, so, like, more of the community mental health spaces. I was a case manager and a group facilitator during that time, probably for about 2.5 years. And during that time, I did a lot of work with people that were diagnosed with, like, severe bipolar, schizophrenia. At the time when this was a DSM diagnosis, I'm telling my age, schizoaffective disorder, and things like that. And so I did a lot of work with just activities of daily living, teaching them how to live on their own. I worked in a program where we actually took people out of assisted living nursing homes and taught them how to live on their own. So that was a very interesting time of career and life. And then after I worked there, I ended up actually going into substance abuse, and I worked in an inpatient an inpatient center for mentally ill and substance abuse. It was a unit that treated both. And I was a counselor there. And while I was a counselor there, I was also going through my master's degree in clinical psychology. I got that degree from a school in Illinois called Governor State University. And during that time, I was just like, you know, I really want to do sports psychology. Like, I just really want to do it. Like, I don't know how to do it. Like, I'm not in a traditional sports program. So, like, how can I actually break into this industry? And when I started at the treatment center, my coworker that I met, who is now probably one of my best friends, she also was like, I want to do sports psychology too. And so I had never met anybody else that wanted to do it. And at the time, I was in Chicago, and the ASP conference, which is the Association of Applied Sports Psychology, was having a conference in that fall, and it was in Indianapolis. So that was like 3 hours away, and we're like, let's go. So we went on, we paid our fees, booked our hotel room, and then we drove to Indianapolis. And during that time, I was a student. And so I was able to do like a student lunch with a professional, and I ended up picking a lunch with Dr. Kenza Gunter. And Dr. Kenza Gunter, I will always say, is the GOAT to me of black sports psychologists and just sports psychologists in general. And so I was able to get a lot of insight from her, one, on how to, like, how to break into the industry and, like, things to do as a student while I was still in my program. And so I continued to work, like, at the inpatient center, and I ended up going to do some more community mental health after that. But during that time, I was studying to get my license for my degree, as well as, like, I ended up starting a private practice with the coworker that wanted to do sports psychology, where I was able to some real life experience doing sports psychology. So I did a lot of workshops and a lot of workshops. And I ended up working with an elite high school basketball team, which is probably where I got the good amount of the experience. It was additional institute in Hammond, Indiana, and I worked with them for 3 seasons, where I did a lot of workshops and a lot of, like, sport and performance individual work. I also did take some sports psychology courses at John F. Kennedy University just to make sure that I knew the language and actually, like, how to do the work effectively during that time. After I did that, I ended up getting a job at North Central College, which is in Naperville, Illinois. And it was it's a D3. And in that department, we were the counseling center, but we also provided sport and performance services. So I was able to actually, like, work with teams and do workshops with teams in the university setting, as well as individual work. And during that time, it probably prepared me to how to, like, have relationship with coaches and with different coaches at university setting. And I'm not sure if you know the culture of North Central College, but they win championships. Like, they win a lot of championships, especially their football team. And so it was nice to be in a culture where it was winning, and, like, just working with those coaches and learning the language of different things. And then I was able to, during that time, I interviewed for Mississippi State. And a lot of people don't know this, but I interviewed twice for Mississippi State. So I interviewed once in 2019, and I did not get the position at the time, but I did gain a mentor in Dr. Angel Brutus during that time. And so even though I didn't get the job at that time, it was a valuable experience and a valuable resource. And it also gave me confidence because I was able to know that I could be in that space and that I was qualified to be in that space. And so just gaining that and just gaining somebody that is so profound in our industry was great. And then in 2021, there was some things shifting at Mississippi State, and so I had interviewed again, and this time I got the job. So that was my first Power 5 job. It was an assistant director job, and there I just learned a lot of skills of how to navigate a athletic department, especially a big one, and pretty much put my footing and have my groundwork of what my career will probably be for a significant part of my life. And now I'm at the University of Oklahoma as an assistant director of their psychological resources. And I've been here for about 10 months. So that's kind of like my span.
How did that job come about?
It was posted, and University of Oklahoma, their pros department, is the oldest in the country. They were the first person, like the first university to hire an embedded mental health provider. And so there's just a lot of history around that. So when the job was posted, I was like, you know, let me see if this kind of aligns with what I want to do. And so it did. And so I made the jump to come to Norman and to the University of Oklahoma.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this question, because I was just trying to remember. How did we connect?
So I met you at an AS regional conference in Atlanta. You were one of the presenters, and that was in 2017. And that's how I ended up following you, connecting to you, talking to you. I think I had just finished my master's degree when I came to that conference.
Wow,
so
that was
like 7 years ago, yeah.
Because I was reading your bio, I was like, I feel, I bet her that, no, maybe I met her, that, oh no, I said, you know, let me just ask her, you know, because I'm like, I mean, because it's like I followed, but let me tell you this, so I came to that event because of Dr. Angel Burtis.
Yeah.
Angel came, you know, followed me on LinkedIn, came a part of the garden, was all involved. And so she said that she spoke at the Black Student Athlete Summit. They have very few black women presenting. You know, would you join me if I create something? I'm like, sure. I have no problem with that. And she said, well, let's do a dry run at Morehouse.
Yeah.
And I was like, sure. But here's the point. You know, I knew Stephanie Coakley, right? And she wasn't even at Temple yet. She was in private practice. So
yes.
Was Angel in private practice. Since meeting them, and I felt it. I kept saying, that's why, I mean, Angel and I were roommates at the Black Student Athlete Summit. I know she got tired of me saying, can you just, I need you to write a proposal so so-and-so can contract you, so so-and-so can contract. Because, you know, black HBCUs didn't have any money to hire, make a whole position.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I know she had tired of me saying that. So so we went to breakfast because, you know, whenever, like you heard me today, I'm going to have a connecting event. I don't even know if I said that. I'm having a connecting event Friday at a restaurant. I'm calling it, instead of happy hour, I'm calling it joy hour. For people that are in Durham for this event, and so, or just live in Durham. So so we went to Black Student Athlete Summit, and we had the breakfast. And J.P. Abercrombie, at the time, worked at Mississippi State. And at the time, it was the three of us just for this breakfast, because it was our very first breakfast. And she was like, you know, we are looking for a person in the psychology area, because we're creating a position. And so Angel said, well, you know, I'll pass it around my network. Next thing I know, back then, the conference was in January. April, mm-hmm. Angel calling me, I just want you to know I'm moving my family down to Mississippi. I said, what? So I feel a part of all of this connection that you have. because if Angel hadn't said yes to that, she wouldn't have interviewed you. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, and I definitely, I always say, like, I got a lot of no's, before I got a yes. Like, I interviewed for a few places, and I would always get to the final two, and I would never get it. And I would gain these relationships with the people that were part of those interviews, and every time something would come up, they would hit me up like, hey, you know, I see this position, or we have this. And I know for sure that if I hadn't even, like, my purpose at that time was definitely just to meet her and to make sure that I knew that I deserved to be in a space like that. And she made me feel like I deserved to be there. So definitely, I agree.
So for those that are listening that kept getting these no's, I know you in the mind business, the growth mindset piece, but kind of give them, what do you think that was the thing that got you to the yes?
So I think it's a few things. So for me, I think with a lot of us, especially trying to break into an industry, break into a space that, you know, I'm not traditionally trained. I didn't go through a program and just go through an internship and get hired somewhere. Like, I have a vast career experience in many different places, fields. I have a vast of knowledge that other people that go straight through just do not have. It's just from experience. And so I think one of the things that I had to remind myself is that, one, that, you know, my value isn't decreasing, or like what I could bring to the table isn't decreasing because people don't see what I can bring at that moment. And like, that's hard to do when you're getting a lot of no's. But I think it's just me making sure that I stay grounded in myself. And that's not to say that I got to places where I didn't feel like this never isn't going to happen, or like, you know what, maybe I just need to just give up. Like, I've had those thoughts too. But I think when I go back and I look at just some of my old journal entries, like I keep tabs on my journey. And when I look back at it, like, nothing changed in that process about my qualifications except for gaining like maybe more experience because I worked for a year longer or things like that, but nothing really changed. So reminding myself that the right opportunity will present itself that's for me, and having a faith that it will happen. And so I think that was one of the things that helped with the no's, and also just making sure that I put myself in position. So like, you know, a lot of times, like, well, you just don't have enough experience. Well, then, okay, I'm going to make my own experience. So, like, me working with that high school team for three seasons, I wasn't paid for that. But I knew that the experience that I got from that was going to help me propel myself to the next level. So, like, even making those sacrifices, I think one of the things I tell my athletes all the time is, like, we do goal setting. And, like, we do these things where, you know, you set objective goals, you set, like, steps that you do every day to achieve that. But the thing that we always miss is, what sacrifice are you willing to make to do all of these things that you want to do? And so I always kind of check myself, like, what am I willing to sacrifice for this? And even if it's just a short amount of time. And so I think for me, knowing that the sacrifices that I make and the discipline that I have to get those goals, I also knew that one day, like, a yes would happen. We just have to keep moving, and like, we can wallow in the no for a second. Like, I've cried and cried and cried, but once I was able to like get those tears out, it's like, okay, like, you know, what feedback did they give me when they gave me the no? And a lot of times it was just like, oh, we just needed somebody with a little more experience. Well, the more I work, the more experience I'll get. So that's something that I can change within the next year or something like that. So I think those are the two things that really helped me get through the no's. And I'm pretty sure I'll get some more no's going forward. But I know that God will put me where I need to be. And so with that faith, I always know that I'm good.
Well, we're going to go to really a short break here, but I do want to say one word that you said when you read your journal. So journaling is really important for self-care. Just want to put that out there. So we'll be back shortly, and I'll ask you some questions that people sent in for you.
Okay.
my name is Lori Governor Curtis, founder and CEO of On the Court Solutions. On the Court Solutions was created to unlock the limitless potential within every student athlete, business, and individual. Our mission is to propel you beyond boundaries and empower you to make a lasting impact on your life and those around you. On the Court Solutions, igniting potential, surpassing limits, and creating a profound impact. For more information and to receive a free download, go to my website, LoriGCurtis.com.
Are you ready to take your name, image, and likeness to a new level? You know, your brand. Then look no further than the Semi-Professional Athlete and Coaches Association, the FACA. Whether you're a collegiate or professional athlete, coach, or athletic director, you'll want to join our vibrant community of sports industry professionals and unlock a world of excitement, possibilities, and opportunities. For more information, visit our website at www.thefaca.com. That's THESACA.com. And get your branding game on with the FACA.
Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Questions to try to get in 10 minutes. So the first one is by Dr. Kinsa Gutter. She says, you're really an awesome person. She wants to know, what impact do you think you're leaving in the field of sports psychology?
Oh, that's a good one. I think the impact that I'm leaving is basically a person that I am a person or individual that will impact the lives of my student athletes and others in the field in the most selfless way possible. I hope that my impact is one that influences people to be themselves wholeheartedly and show up as their full selves, and that I provide that safety and space for them to do so. I pray that the work that I do, once I am done with my career, influences the way that people think and practice in our industry, and pull us further from more of the Western ideology that we typically operate from, so that we can connect to people in a way in which we connect to them holistically with into their whole entire beings, whether that's their mind, their body, their spirit, or everything that's connected together. And so I'm praying that that's the impact that I'm having as I navigate into an early career into this field.
Well, I got another question, but that sounds like something that you're able to infuse as the co-coordinator of the race and ethnicity in the sports special interest group of your organization. Because when you just pointed that out about the Western ways, that means the opposite, that you're incorporating other cultures in the practice of sports psychology. Would I be correct with that?
Yes, and just the way that we conceptualize the work that we do with individuals.
Wow, that's deep. Second question. Roberta Nadell, you probably don't know her, but she's a member of the Garden. She wanted to know, what is your biggest challenge in sports psychology and what role did communications play in that?
I think one of the things that there are hierarchies that, you know, we may not speak about in navigating this field. I think that's one of the challenges. It hasn't hindered the things that I can do, but it does hinder you know, people's thoughts. Like, I'm a master's level clinician, and I'm proud to be a master's level clinician because I believe my experience will supersede someone that may have a higher degree than I do. And I know the work that I do is great and impactful. But I do know that sometimes that can be a challenge or a struggle. I'll also say, like, just working in systems, you know, we all work in systems. We know what that looks like. And sometimes there's challenges in growth and just frustrations in how that growth looks. And I think that there's also challenges in the way we can present ourselves or the way that we do the work. Sometimes we have to prove ourselves to be, especially as a Black woman, basically you got to prove that you're exceptional, where some of my other counterparts that do not look like me can just be regular or mediocre. And so I think learning how to take care of myself and know that I don't have to be exceptional every day to do effective work sometimes is a challenge, especially being in a space, in spaces where you feel that you have to be exceptional and you have to be on every time you go in there because you're representing a demographic that isn't represented in that space usually.
That's exhausting.
I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
I said that's exhausting.
Yes, it is very exhausting at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you still have to be aware of where the exhaustion is coming from so you can course correct yourself. So,
yes.
That was good. That was good because many people don't know. They don't know they're on the hamster wheel. You know, they don't realize it. But they're just trying to reach something. And I'm glad you said exceptional, because perfection is not achievable.
No, we always move the goalpost of what perfection is.
Right, right. They keep moving the finish line. And so, and I'm going to say this, and I do have to go, but I think that is what Dawn Stanley was releasing. Well, she's releasing the exhaustion. Because I know I said perfection is something that can't be used. But she did have a perfect season. But the season might have been perfect with one number on one side and zero on the other.
But during that journey, they weren't perfect days.
Yes. Yes. The strain and the heaviness of holding that and holding that for mm-hmm. her athletes that are, you know, trusted in her care. I know that could be exhausting.
Yeah.
And keeping the standard mm-hmm. of that, yeah.
And so she was giving praise for the Most High for giving her the strength to do that. You know, people don't understand that. But you mentioned faith a lot as well. And it really is not something that you can do by just brain willpower.
Oh, I know for a fact that I wouldn't be where I am without God. And just him keeping me in the moments where I don't feel strong, I know that he can carry me. And I think that has helped me through some difficult times.
Wow. And it's funny because I just put my fingers together and I intertwine it. And that's really what it is. I mean, yes, you got to go seek excellence, you know. And I like how, you know, you sought. Like, you didn't give up when somebody says, okay, well, I don't know about the sports psychology, but this is what we got. So you took that and you sought the other and you intertwined it. And I'm in the same situation as it relates to a master's degree. You know, all the kids love a class. I didn't teach last semester because I did not have a PhD, and they invited me back because they were like, the kids were just not going to class because they didn't have a U. And I was like, okay, mm-hmm. well, let's get going. But it's not that I don't love education, and I'm pretty sure this is probably, it's just that I'm not willing to go into debt to go get a degree.
Yes.
When the education is out there and I'm getting the work done for, what, 8 years now, teaching for 8 years and putting people out there in the profession?
Yeah, I feel the same way. Also, you know, it's very traumatic to go through these programs because they are traumatic for Black people. They are. My master's program was traumatic. And so I'm just not willing to go in debt and put myself through that trauma if I don't need to do it, because I don't even know at this point what I would actually learn. And so it would be just so that I could say I was a doctor. And if that's the only reason that I'm doing it, then I feel like that's very ego-centered. And so I'm to the place where I don't know if that's in my future. I mean, if God says in my future, and you know, I'll do it. But as of now, that isn't what's pulling or calling on my life.
Right. And I'm not a people like, I just want to do it so I can say I did it. No. I did that mm-hmm. with my master's, and let me just say this. I was the only Black woman in my class, and I came out in 94, and I've been in this business for 30-some years. But I will say this, and I'm going to say the name out. At ODU, I was getting ready to go do it and ready to pay for it. Oh, no, you just can't go and just pay for a doctorate. You have to be asked. That's some BS, and that ain't nothing but discrimination. Okay?
Yes.
Because everybody, so I had the money then, I had my inheritance, but I took my inheritance to learn how to run this business.
Okay.
So,
and that has been fruitful for you.
Yes, Lord. Yo, you should see my hands raised up. So we got to go. I love talking with you. Chat with you later. Thank you so much to Jamla Harrison for being my eyes and ears. Everybody join me next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Join us on Facebook's follow-up, A Chat and a Girl with Monique A.J. Smith, and have a significant rest of the day.